May the words I speak and the words you hear be the word of God for us. Amen.
Amen.
Must be about 18 months ago, I think, that I met a couple in their late 40s, early 50s. Having different surnames, I assumed that they were not married. I met them, indeed continue to meet them on several occasions, singly and together, and was getting to know them, particularly as the female of the couple shared the fact that her family were Jersey people, and as some of you may know, I have strong connections with Jersey, as my mother was born there. And I was looking for an opportunity with my sort of clergy hat on, asking them the cheeky question as to whether they were thinking of getting married. She seemed happy, smiling, enjoying life. But I was so glad I didn't ask that question, at least perhaps not in the tone of voice that I intended, because in a conversation the other day, she shared how she had been very happily married for 17 years, but had lost her husband who had died a few years ago. And so now she was forming a new relationship. I was thinking of that encounter as I read today's gospel. And it led me to ask myself this question. You might like to ask it yourself. What sin or sins of thought or word or deed do you need most forgiveness for? And this needn't necessarily be a one-off major sin. It may probably more likely be something every day. What sins of thought, word, or deed do you think you need most forgiveness for? In the Gospel, Matthew paints a picture of Jesus' encounter with Peter, who is struggling to forgive people in the community who have hurt him in various ways. Surely there's a limit to how often, how many times I have to forgive. After all, the rabbis said 7 times was the ideal. But Jesus tells Peter that he needs to have a much larger vision of forgiveness. 70 times 7. And that leads Jesus to tell us the parable of the unforgiving servant, as we title it, as an illustration of what the kingdom of God is about. We all know that forgiveness is one of the, if not the, primary theme of the whole Christian story. 23 years ago, almost to the day, we witnessed the heinous crime of the Twin Towers. How might that theme of forgiveness apply to those whose nearly 3,000 relatives, friends, colleagues lost their lives? To say the least, we feel discomforted in suggesting that forgiveness should feature significantly, even 23 years on. And I find myself similarly discomforted in the parable that Jesus told, in how the master dealt with the unforgiving servant. Read the end of the story again. But let's hold on to that discomfort for a moment as we notice another theme of today's stories and readings. All of them, and others, in, as I'll say in a moment, in the Old Testament, warn that the obvious surface reaction to one particular incident may turn out to be quite wrong. If you put it in the bigger picture of the context of what God is doing in the world. A classic example is the story, which I'm sure most people here know, of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt, hopefully forgot all about him. His brothers treated him abominably. Their reaction to this aggravating, spoiled little brother was completely, as we would say, over the top. And so they sell him into Egypt. And of course, much later on, they're in Egypt, the brother is in Egypt, and they have to go to Egypt in order to overcome the famine. And they meet his brother, not recognizing him, and they can hardly believe it, that forgiveness is Joseph's reaction to them, which they expect to be withdrawn when their father dies. And the reason for that is that Joseph has seen the bigger picture. He has seen that what God has done through the violent jealousy of the brothers, and he has seen that many, many people benefited. Indeed, one could say the whole population of Egypt, who might have starved without Joseph's foresight, can in a strange way themselves plead forgiveness for those brothers who unwittingly brought Joseph to Egypt to do what he did. And in the parable that Jesus tells of the forgiven slave, again you can see that the slave's mind was travelling in one direction which he was forced to rethink. Surely his master would approve of him trying to get his financial affairs in order, even to the extent of hauling in his debtors. But his master's context was a bigger one. He was not thinking about just one slave and his money worries, but about the whole society of people that he ruled, whom he wishes to govern by example. He wanted the slave to see forgiveness in action and learn how to do it so that more than one life could be put straight. So both Joseph and the forgiven slave find out that what they thought was just about God and themselves turns out to have a knock-on effect for many, many others. Of course, there is an individual element to Christian living, but the point of it is not just to get our own life straight, but to demonstrate the power of the life of God at work in our world and in our midst, in our families and amongst our friends. And that's what Paul is trying to say to the Romans. Being Christian is not about just about you and God, but about the whole sweep of God's saving, forgiving activity in Christ. Your small life and mine will, God willing, have ripples of consequences in God's great design. Will they be ripples flowing out from the huge impact of God's forgiving love in Christ, or just a very small eddy from a tiny, perhaps rather self-possessed pebble that has little connection with the tidal wave of God's love? Getting the bigger picture does not make it easy or easier day by day to decide how to live obediently, but it does remind us that why it matters. So let me return To that question, I asked myself, what sin of thought, word, or deed do you think you need most forgiveness for? And my answer would be, the sin of making wrong judgments about people. Many times in my life, I have been in situations where others have behaved in a particular way that I have made a judgment about, which has often proved completely wrong. And indeed, this sort of thing happens on a day-to-day basis. Now you nearly know that I'm a walking disaster. But it does happen on a daily basis, but fortunately does not have too many bad consequences. We are created by a loving, purposeful God who has given us gifts of freedom to make poor judgments. And that freedom means that we miss very often, because this is just the way we are. We miss the bigger context of God's great plan for redemption, that one day we shall see fully when we meet him face to face. And so our readings and our stories today call us to see everything that happens in the bigger context of God's saving activity in Christ, the lifeblood of which is forgiveness. God calls us to know God's forgiveness in Christ, and having experienced it, to be forgiving people. At the end of the story that Jesus told, the Lord of the unforgiving servant hands him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. Then Jesus adds these telling words, "So my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive." On the face of it, that sounds very harsh. But think of forgiveness as like the air in your lungs. There's only room for you to inhale the next lungful when you've breathed out the previous one. If you insist on withholding your breath, refusing to give someone the kiss of life they may desperately need, the result will be that you will suffocate very quickly. The lungs of forgiveness are either open or closed. One way is death, the other brings life. Amen.